This great man of God is coming out of Saginaw, Michigan, with Kerry Williams. It's Kerry Williams Show. I'm going to pull back here and I'm let him get himself moving. And as we go ahead and introduce him, in, you guys can go ahead and get the information you need to your friends, families. Hear what this man of God has to say tonight. And Kerry Williams.
God bless you, sir. Good evening. This is Elder Kerry Williams coming to you live from Kerry Williams Ministries out of Saginaw, Michigan. Amen. By way of Harvest New Life Church, amen. Right there in the city of Plano, Texas, amen. We want to welcome you tonight, amen, for just some plain Bible talk. We want to talk plainly concerning and with the Word of God, amen. We're going to go ahead and get right to it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for these hearts and these minds that are tuned in tonight, oh God, to receive what you have, God. We would that we would decrease, that you would increase, oh God, and that you would impart some wisdom and some knowledge and strength into the spirit man in the hearts of those that are listening. God, in the name of Jesus, we would that you would meet every need, oh God, lift every head. Because it's in you that we live and we move and we have our being. These are all the best we thank you for. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Once again, this is Elder Kerry Williams coming to you live out of Saginaw, Michigan by way of Harvest New Life Church. Amen. And we just want to continue our talking. We want to continue our teaching. Excuse me. On the importance of faith, amen. As a matter of fact, last week we started a new series and where we came out of the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, and we discussed how when Elijah raised the Shunammite woman's son, that she had the faith to believe and already know. And she uttered these three words, "It is well." She said it two times. If you go down through the story, we're going to start off there, but then we're going to move and we're going to tell you why it's important to maintain and develop your faith. We're going to tell you what the goal of your faith should be. Amen. So looking at 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, around the 27th verse. Well, let me back up a little bit. We know the story. The man of God would travel through Shunem every so often. And one day when he went through Shunem, the Bible says that there was a... I'm reading from the King James Version, by the way, and I'm paraphrasing it. But the Bible says that there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. And matter of fact, verse 8 says, "So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food." Verse 9 says, "And she said to her husband, 'Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whether he comes to us, he can turn in there.'" Stop right there. Side note, first of all, your faith is demonstrated by your actions, but your actions help to increase and determine your level of faith. So by faith, she understood that this was the man of God. There was a time when not just the saints in the church of God, but everybody had a reverence and a respect for the man of God. It wasn't because of who he was, but it was because of who and what he represented. The man of God would travel and go to different homes and see about the people, and the people would take care of the man. The Bible says that we are to bless the man of God with natural things for being a blessing to us with spiritual things. Now, there are things that you don't see like that today. The roles have kind of reversed, but that's a whole other matter. So we get on down through the text, and the man of God told her that she would embrace her son this time next season. Somewhere around verse 16, he told her that she this time next season she would embrace a son, because he had asked his servant he had asked her what he could, what they could do for her, because she showed love and concern and respect. Now, she told him then, basically, she was a wealthy woman. She didn't need a lot. And so he called her back and told her this time, his servant, excuse me, let me back up a little bit, Gehazi, told her that she didn't have a child and her husband was old. Long story short, because of her faithfulness, God blessed her with a son according to the faith of the word of the word from the man of God. Amen. So that's a demonstration of his faith right there. But then the story goes on to say that one day the child was in the field with his father. He said his head hurt. He sent the child home. The Bible says that the child sat on his mother's lap until noon and then died. Now, this is where it gets very interesting, because this is where her faith begins to take over. And we've got to understand that God doesn't expect us to continue to ride the coattails and to kill the preacher. I know this day it's easy for us. Every time we have a thumbnail hurt, first thing we want to do is tell the pastor to pray for us. But the Bible says that we ought to grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. So, in other words, God desires for us to bring along and come along and mature in our faith to the point where we don't always have to worry about killing the man and woman of God, because we have the faith to believe that that same power that raised Christ from the dead, Christ delegated and gave to us. So this woman of God had faith. And please remember, this is some thousand or so years before Christ was even born. And this woman had this much faith in God. So you tell me, why don't we demonstrate it today? Why don't we show it today? Well, I'm gonna try and explain it to you. But verse 27 says, now, and I want you to understand this. There's always a reason why God does things the way he does, and he doesn't. He's sovereign. He ain't got to explain it to us. We might not never understand some things. We never will. There are things we will never understand this side of heaven. But God doesn't always reveal everything to the man of God for you, because he needs for you to develop and have the faith to see it for yourself. Verse 27 says, now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress. Now get this, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Contrary to popular opinion and belief, God speaks to more than just the preacher. God speaks and deals with to more than just the woman of God and the prophet and the priest and this and that and the other. Because God needs all of us. God is no respecter of persons. See, when Christ gave gifts to man and to the church, they all have specific function and reason and purpose, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But the preacher said that God, the Lord, hid it from him and did not tell him. So from that point, this was an opportunity for her faith to kick in. And now, this is the thing. When God is moving, he expects us to grow to the level and become mature enough in him, in the spirit, to recognize it and act accordingly. So long story short, the man of God set his servant ahead of him. But that wasn't good enough for her according to her faith. Verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Now, this is her faith speaking. This is her faith in action, because she had already spoke the words at least twice. It is well. Or in other words, her faith, she had enough faith to know that it will be well. Her child's lying at home in the bedroom dead. The only child that she had, the only child that the man of God had promised to her that she didn't have. Sound familiar? But her child is lying at home dead, and she had the faith to believe. She didn't tarry. She didn't worry about it. She didn't wait. She was vexed in her spirit, but she spoke the words, "It is well." And so she decided that she was not going to leave the man of God unless he came and did something. Now, this is where their faith worked together in conjunction. Elijah goes ahead on to the woman's house, and he prayed to God. He laid out on the child. The child's flesh became warm. He got up. He walked back and forth and prayed some more. He laid out on the child again. The Bible says the child sneezed 7 times and came back to life. Now, what I need for you all to see tonight is that this is but one example of how important it is to have a faith, and not only have faith, but to be mature in your faith. So we're going to move on a little bit further down the line, and we're going to talk about something for a few minutes here. Actually, Apostle Ellis and I discussed a couple of days ago, and we're going to start at the book of Ephesians, 4th chapter and 11th verse. Actually, I'm going to start up a little higher than that. We're going to start around the 7th verse. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now, faith is actually a gift. Verse 9 says, "Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things." Now, verse 11 is where I'm going. "And he himself," Jesus Christ, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, there's a goal in this. There's a point to this. "Till we all," not just the apostles, not just the preachers, the teachers, the pastors, and the ministers, but till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up," and this is what we want to get, verse 15, "may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined in knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." I said all that to say this, that the world is not going to cause you to grow in God. The world is not going to encourage you. And lots of times, neither are the actions of people. That means that God has given us the gift and the faith and everything that we need, supplied everything for us to grow ourselves. It says right here in the scripture that everything, everybody, every part does its share that causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Remember, if you look back up at verse 13, it says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." Gotta understand that God gave those, that's talking about the fivefold ministry gift, the pastor, preacher, teacher, prophet. It had a purpose for the equipping, That word equipping is in the Greek is katatomos. And it says, Strong says it, a making fit, preparing, training, perfecting, making fully qualified for service. In classical language, the word is used for setting a bone during surgery. The great physician is now making all the necessary adjustments so that the church will not be out of joint. That is exactly where your faith comes in at. That is exactly where my faith comes in at. It takes more than the faith of the men who occupy these offices and who hold these gifts. But God desires for each and every one of us to develop the same faith so that we all remember. We talked about last week, week before last, I believe it was, in Acts, the fourth chapter, somewhere around the 38th verse, when the first church was formed, the Bible says that they were all in one place on one accord. In other words, they all had the same mind, the same thought, the same goal. And the Bible says that every man brought in their possessions and distributed them to the church of God and brought their money in. And the apostles distributed everything to everybody so that everybody's needs were met. Nobody lacked anything. God wants us to all be perfect. I'm going to get to the word perfect in a minute. But God all wants us to be perfect and not lack anything concerning our faith and concerning the kingdom of God. And we've got to understand that, first of all, I'm going to give you another side note, but when it comes to the word perfect, that word is not talking about you being so great that you can do no wrong. It's not talking about us being so awesome and so beautiful and so wonderful and so, as we like to say, perfect. No. The word perfect and perfection in the Word of God simply means mature. There are stages in life from when we're born that we have to go through to develop. There are stages of aging and maturity that we go through. We go through phases of infancy, through childhood, through adolescence, through adulthood, and then finally we become fully mature adults. Now, as long as you're walking on this dirty earth and breathing this dirty air, in God, you're always being perfected. You're always maturing. And anything that's not growing is dead. It's just like a tree, any other plant. As long as it's alive, it's growing. God desires for us. This walk of faith is a walk of continuous growing and maturity. And this is why God allows us. Look, there's a purpose to your pain. As a matter of fact, there's a footnote in my Bible. I want to read this to you real quick. Over in the book of James, first of all, let me read the scripture. The book of James, chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and we're talking about heavenly versus demonic wisdom, but it says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, demonic. He's talking about demonic wisdom. But verse 16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Now, right before that, in verse 3 and 2, the Bible says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, that word perfect, in the Greek, it's pronounced teleos, from telos or end. Teleos refers to that which has reached an end, that is finished, complete, perfect. When applied to persons, it signifies consummate soundness and includes the idea of being whole. more particularly when applied to believers, it means maturity. Now, at every level and stage of your faith, there's a level of maturity that you're at. Your feelings, your thoughts, your actions, your words, all of that will be made manifest, and all of it will actually give you an indicator of where you are spiritually, how mature you are, how immature you are, whatever the case may be. But in the case of the Shunammite woman, in the case of Elijah, they were mature spiritually. Listen, Christ himself, Jesus had to show faith to get on that cross and die for us. And by the way, I know a lot of us like to think in our mindsets that we have faith for this and faith for that, but all we do is sit and believe and speak it. But let me tell you something. Faith requires action. Paul said, "Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." In other words, as long as you're exercising faith, you can't just sit still and talk and think it, but you have to give God something literally to work with. And as long as you have the faith to believe, and it takes work. This is a journey. This thing is real, especially in the day and age that we're living in. But that's why it's so important that all you have to do is look to the Word of God. You'll hear me refer to Jesus' prophecy in the 24th chapter of Matthew, often because those literally are the days that we're living in. But you see the things that are going on in the world today. And it's the Word of God. We literally see with our eyes the Word of God coming to pass every single day. Jesus talked about a period of time he called the beginning of sorrows. Beloved, we're living in those days. Don't you know it took action for Christ to allow himself to be placed on that cross? It took action for Christ to get up and come out of that grave. And it was all for the love of us, you and I. But it was all according to his faith. And he gave the same power, he gave the same ability to develop the same faith to be with us. The Bible said to let us have the mind of Christ. So I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like. When you're walking in faith, people are going to look at you crazy. People are going to call you crazy. Let them. You can't control the actions of other people anyway. It takes more strength to control yourself than it does anything else. But be it according to your faith. We've got to grow up and listen. That's why it's so important to spend time with God and the Word and don't depend on the traditions and the work of other people. We've got to go, if you belong to a church, go to Bible study. Listen, Sunday morning service is great. It has a purpose in our lives. It's for us to come in and be edified and be recharged, because the real battle lies when we leave outside of the church walls and walk this life Monday through Friday. But if you don't know, you can't grow. You can't develop your faith if you're not taking the time to feed your faith. Now, I don't know who this is for tonight, but please understand that God doesn't do anything slack. That when God created you, he didn't create no junk. He didn't create just a lump of meat. God created you to eventually be perfection. The Bible says that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. But God says as long as you can hold on, according to this word, he's going to bring you along to a point where you're a perfect mature man or woman of God. And this is all we're trying to do is get to it, because especially in this day and age. All manner of hell is going to come at you and break loose in your life. It ain't just out there in the rest of the world. One day that adversity, if it hasn't already, baby, one day that adversity is going to knock on your door, and it could be anything up until including death, physical death. But if your faith is in tune, if you're maturing in your faith, and everybody's not there, everybody's not going to always be there yet, but if you're doing what you're supposed to do to become mature in your faith, first of all, nothing should make you afraid, and even yet, nothing should surprise you. Somebody need to count how many times in the Word of God that God and that Christ and the Apostle told us not to fear. He told us don't be afraid. There's a reason for that. First of all, the Bible says that for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And also, please understand that fear and faith cannot occupy, it's impossible for fear and faith to occupy the same space at the same time. It's just like when you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light. When the light comes on, the fear flees. The darkness will flee, excuse me. It's the exact same thing with your faith. So there is a goal in mind in your faith. God wants you to become mature. Yes, as long as you're still traveling through life, you're going to face many things because the enemy does not want you to reach that goal. But the Bible has already given us the assurance that he's already defeated. Listen. Even if life were to leave my body, my faith tells me that God, if whatever God chooses, he can either bring me back to life or he can go ahead on and take me on the glory with him. But either way, hallelujah, I win. And it's the same with each and every one of you. But this word has to be manifested. It has to be nurtured. It has to be placed securely in your spirit, so no matter what's going on in your life, it is well. I thank God for those three words, because with everything that I go through, everything that I've been through, even in my body, Apostle Charles knows he knows a lot of my testimony. God is quickening me more and more in my spirit every single minute, even while the enemy yet attacks me in my body. Hallelujah. I'm grateful. I went down to Henry Ford day before yesterday, and I got the report that I am fully a go. Hallelujah. I'm a high priority, top of the list, to receive a new kidney. Now, that might not be significant to you, but to me, it proves again, once again to me, that God has my healing securely in place. I don't even have to worry about it. So it doesn't matter what I go through from day to day. My faith lets me know that God has already healed me. But if I were weak in my faith, I couldn't. Listen, I'm not speaking from an ivory tower, okay? I'm telling you what I know, because I'm telling you what God has done for me and what he's yet doing for me. And I praise him every chance I get, because were it not for my faith, I don't know where I'd be. I'd probably have been dead a long time ago. The enemy been trying to take me out for over 20 years. But yet and still, God keeps me because I lean on him. The Bible tells us to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. But it all is according to your faith. That's why no matter what's going on, when you look to God, you can say, it is well. Hallelujah. Now listen, I'm going to cut off right there, because tonight we want to hear some feedback. I believe somebody out there has a testimony. Somebody might be struggling with them. Even if you got a question or a prayer request and you're listening right now is your opportunity You call in. The number is 929-477-1191. And if you're calling and you're listening to this broadcast, press 1 on your keypad, and it'll ring into the studio. And the man of God will bring you in to give God your testimony, to ask you a question, to give us your prayer request, whatever it is. Apostle Charles?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm right here. Anybody who's there. As the man of God just said, you know, we want to hear the feedback. I mean, just listening to the line, that's one thing. But, you know, the Word of God declares, take action, make a move on what you feel. Don't lack anything. If there's something that you've actually been defeated by, or something you're dealing with, you know you don't have the power for your strength to be able to pull that away. Have somebody to come in, labor with you in whatever you're dealing with, that God can help you. The number to call in, as I said before, is 929-477-1191. Now, when you touch the number one button on your keypad, that'll bring you right in the studio with Elder Williams. And whatever it is that you may need, prayer. And look, if, like you said, if you don't ask, then it can't move. You got to be able to make a step forward to at least say, hey, look, I am struggling. There's something I'm dealing with. I know I'm dealing with. I'm in church every day. I'm praying every day, but I can't break the cycle. I need you to come in flavor with me and help me to loose this very thing, this last stronghold that may be causing this problem in my life. He want to hear from you. These stations are not for you just to come on and hear because it sounds good. It's for us to help you. This is like a help place. You know, we want to be able to be some kind of support to you in whatever it is you may be dealing with. As I said before, the number is 929. You call in. It was 929-477-1191. Those of you already in the studio, you're lit up across the board. All you have to do is touch the number one button on your keypad. That'll put you right in the studio with the man of God. Elder Gil Williams.
Amen, amen. Listen, again, you have to give God something to work with, and you have to be specific. And I'm going to be honest with you. All of us have to go the same way. There's no big eyes, no little U's in this thing. There's no shame. The Bible says, now, therefore, there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus and who love him and his calling. So we've got to understand that in order to get anywhere, we've got to become helpers one to another. That's what this is all about. This ain't about notoriety or fame or fortune or getting any type of glory, anything like that. No, beloved, this is about us coming together. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Believe it or not, we all need each other. And the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Now, you can't tell it all, but you can certainly tell on it. And again, the Bible also tells us, in all thy getting, get understanding. Jesus said, ask and seek and knock. So there's nothing wrong with asking for prayer. There's nothing wrong. We're just telling of the goodness of God. As a matter of fact, it's in order. If you go through the 91st division of Psalms, you can count some 61, 62, 63 times that David testified himself of keeping the testimony of God. He equated with literally keeping God's commands. We have to become proactive in this thing. This is all spiritual warfare, and we're caught up in it. Listen, you're caught up in a battle between the forces of God and the spirit of the enemies, and right now, in particular, the spirit of Antichrist, it's live and well in the face of the earth. So there's a battle for your soul. There's a battle literally for your testimony. And you ain't gonna never cheat God by holding on to it. You can only cheat yourself. But you can cheat the enemy because he doesn't know what's in your heart. He doesn't know the future, but he only knows what he wants to plant in your heart. And if you've got the faith to overcome the attack, you're good to go. And faith is about more than just, it's more than just mental.
Amen.
It's more. It's so much more than just mental. Yeah, the Bible tells us to speak those things which be not as though they are. But the Bible also tells us to put action behind those words. The most powerful thing in existence is the spoken word of God. Next to that, it's the spoken word, period. There's such a thing as positive and negative confession. In other words, whatever you speak, when God created you, the Bible says, let us make man and let us make him in our image and our likeness. God gave you some of the same qualities he has, which means he gave you the ability to think, to reason, to speak, just like him. And the three greatest bodies, and I'm going to do a teaching on this in a little while down the line, but the three greatest words in the Bible, you may not believe me, but the three greatest words in the Bible are, and God said.
Amen.
Everything Amen. Came Amen. To be out of chaos, order. And God
Man,
said, let there be.
I got a prayer request. I mean, I don't turn down no prayer. I mean, I don't know.
No, please.
You know, I ain't never no Superman. I know I walk in a powerful office, but I don't even know Superman. But even as I take my daughter today to school to meet a teacher. I had some good friends that I met up there and seen. But as I came into the school system, I looked around that school and I imagined some of the chaos and things probably had happened. And some of the other school shootings that happened in the late early part of the year as the school actually began to come to a close. And I began to pray. And my prayer is that even when my daughter goes into that school, all the teachers, all those new staff members that's coming on board, that I want to pray that the power of God be in the midst of the halls of Thomas Elementary, not only Thomas Elementary School in the city of Plano, but all the schools, all the children, that the men and women don't have enough to stand up and be able to reach out to somebody who want to pray for them and protect their kids during this year, then that be on them. Because the Bible said you're going to have to say something for something to move. Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
So my prayer is that you pray for my wife, pray for my daughter, pray for me, pray for the school, pray for all that is in the school that's causing her to move forth in her life as she's going forth. Because I never want to get a phone call from a school system like these young men and women done that said that or they won't be coming home anymore, or they caught in some kind of trauma. So I want you to pray for the Ellis family and pray that everything this year for the children and the things she's going, not only just going to school, but in her life. She's growing, she's maturing, she's becoming a young lady, and I want you to be able to pray for my daughter and pray for not just my daughter, but all of my children, every one of them. And for those who want to join in and believe they got enough in them to be able to come up and say to pray for their children, then that's on them. But I'm going to step out. And I'm going to be able to release the word of God, not only on my family, but all those who are listening in. And I'm going to be the first to step up and let you know, hey, look, pray for my family. I do a work. I do a powerful work. I know I do. And the enemy is always lurking. And it's no desire for him to do something to come against my family, to throw me clean off the axles of what God is calling me to do. So keep me in prayer. Keep my children in prayer. Keep the school in prayer. All the mothers, all those ones who's going through to point of getting their children back in school in this upcoming year, that we don't have the tragedies in the school system like we had this past school semester that we just ended. Here coming up this last school semester. So I want you to, that's my prayer request, you know, pray for my family.
Amen.
Pray for the protection of the children in the school in this season that we're coming into. Thank you, man of God.
Amen. Well, we're going to do that right now, man. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this man of God. You hear his petition, oh God, as well as every prayer and every petition, spoken or even unspoken, on this line tonight, oh God. Let it be so, God, as according to your will. Cover this family. Cover these families. Cover these children, oh God. Bless, protect, and keep, oh God. You said in your word, oh God, that if we but believe it and we speak it, we shall have it. And God, we're standing on faith tonight for your protection, for all of the children of this nation, all the schools. Go into the schools, go into the classrooms, go everywhere that you would need to go. The Bible said that you are everywhere. You're omnipresent, oh God. So we thank you for your covering.
Lord.
We thank you for your protection.
Lord.
Even
Lord
as
Jesus.
The hedge of protection that you had around Job, oh God, we
yes,
thank you
Lord.
Place the same hedge of protection over these
yes,
hearts
Lord.
And these minds. even those that are listening tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We count it as done. We're standing in faith on your word, and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
And it is
so. God bless you, man. It is. I believe it.
God bless you, sir.
One touch of a button on a system that can't nobody even see, you can probably change your life. The Lord came to the centurion that he felt he wasn't worthy for Christ to come up under his rule because he was a man of authority as well. But the power of the word of his servants, he said, all you got to do is send the word. All you're doing
speak
right now
word.
Is sending the word, just speaking it. And all that takes for them to do is just mash. Somebody got something in their life that ain't, you said nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. And then but one perfect person walked this earth, and that was Christ.
Amen.
But he put people like you on earth and all the other great men of God that does the word of God who walk upright to be the minister to those who I need. Whenever you come to the point that you don't fear, you need prayer, you done lost your race already. Believe me when I tell you that.
Amen.
Because the enemy knows where to get in on you at. I don't care how so-called saved and sanctified you think you're supposed to be. When a man of God offers you a free opportunity for a hedge of protection, you all might want to jump on it. Because the next day you wake up, it might be the last day you might ever see anything in your life. So when the enemy comes in, he's coming to do his job. And I'm telling you, he do his job well. But you're going to have to learn how to keep yourself protected. We got an old saying that we're so rebellious and things like that, you don't let anybody pray for you. You know what? You ought to have a discerning spirit to know when the power of the Spirit is in your face. To know when somebody's trying to do good for you. Whether you just really just holding back and just letting whatever you need in your life to move forward. Enemy is lurking. That's his job. He constantly moves every day, finding some kind of way that he wants to try to destroy you, bring you down, and keep you from the anointing what God has over your life. Got a caller coming in from 225. God for the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. 225-447-442. I'm sorry. Going to put you in the studio with the man of God, Elder Williams. And I'm telling you, he's got a word I know he's going to have to say to you that's going to help you whatever is going on. Man of God, 225-442.
Hi.
You're in the studio.
How you doing?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. My name is Marcus. I can say my name over line, right?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, my name is Marcus Bill, man, and I was listening to you. I kind of caught the end, but I know from listening and knowing Mr. Charles that I know it's a good word. And I can also feel it, feel the anointing over here. So I just wanted to a prayer request with the young man that I met tonight. I mean today, at the school, and while I was up at my daughter's school visiting the teachers, I want to ask for a prayer for him, myself as well, my family. The homeless people that don't get the word like we get it and don't get the messages like we get it and people pray that more ministers go out and reach them kind of people and I just like to request prayers for the people that are sick right now, you know. And sometimes them people don't even have enough strength for the have the kind of faith for to believe in miracles like how we believe in miracles. And I mean, because I know what God can do because I done seen it with my own two eyes what he did with me in a matter of months. So I mean, and pray for I like a prayer request for my old friends that I used to hang with, they lost right now, and they need all the prayer that they can get right now. And I'm pray for me too, because by me staying straight and going straight and walking in his image, that's a reflection that they can see that helps them as well. So pray for me so I can keep showing that same light to them that they'll be able to walk in the righteousness. So, you know, and I mean, the prayer goes on. Is, you know, pray without ceasing, you know. So, You know, I mean, pray for the real, pray for our president. He needed.
Amen. That's right.
You know, pray for all the people across the river because there's a lot of stuff going on more other than the U.S. where we live at. It's stuff people need to be reached in other countries. You know,
amen.
Other so-called religions that don't actually believe in what we believe in and the Most High's God. You know, so you know, and I mean, they right now they need prayer because I mean we living in our last days, and I really truly feel that Jesus can come at any time. You know, so
amen.
And I really feel that way, and that's why I just been seeking his face even more and more and more and more, and
right.
staying in and keeping in my faith and living off of his grace and the mercy that he show up on me. So,
amen. Well, let's pray for the man of God, Elder Williams. Let's pray for him.
Amen. You know, that's right.
Let's pray for him. Let's keep him lifted up.
Amen.
We got a lot more hands that's reaching up on the studio. But yeah, pray for him.
All right, Brother Marcus, I believe. If I remember correctly, I believe we talked before because I remember hearing your testimony. And I don't have time. I won't take the time to go into it before, but I remember there's a familiarity with your voice. But we're going to go ahead and pray because if we can't do nothing, we can always pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we have the petition before you, Brother Marcus. So, God, he has a burden for the people, Lord. He has a burden for souls, oh God. You called him and equipped him, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to intercede and to pray for people, not just in his own circle, Lord, but across the entire world, oh God. Yes. So now, Lord, we're believing you tonight for every prayer and every request, every petition that Brother Marcus has spoken, oh God. We're believing it as done by faith, oh God, in you. God, we would that you would continue to bless him and protect him, Lord. Bless him with health. Bless him with protection. Cover his children, Lord. Bring peace around him, oh God. Make him to be an agent of change and a representative of your peace, oh God. Your peace that passes all understanding, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, bless him and equip him to go out into your vineyard, oh God. We need more willing workers, oh God, to go out into your vineyard. You said that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Oh God, in these last evil days, we're thanking and praising you for equipping men and women and workers who will go out and reap your harvest, oh God.
Yes.
We count it as done in the name of Jesus.
In the name
we
of Jesus.
We praise you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Marcus.
Yeah. That brother there. Amen. That young man there, you know, I don't want to go into detail. Maybe he needed time to come on Tuesday night testimony because I'm telling you, that brother has some testimonies.
I remember his testimony.
Well, he got some testimonies. But before we go on, I mean, I want to just say something about the power of God. And I see there's so many still standing idle. There's still so many standing idle. We can't push you into getting prayer. We can't make you do anything. We're not going to make you anything because Jesus, I mean, God is not that kind of person. But we do make our petition, our request we know for you to be prayed for. Now, there's a lot of them I see on the line. The lines are very full, but there's a lot of hands that should have been raised by now for what's been spoken because I'm just feeling that through the Spirit. But don't let the stubbornness and the hardness of the things you've been indoctrinated with keep you away from feeling that you pray for yourself and you don't need anybody else to pray for you. You got to come to the point to know that you got to have a discerning spirit. And the Bible says the reason that we fall in our own vomit, or fall back into our own vomit, because we only care for the circle in which we're in. Sometimes God got to bring a fresh anointing in your life to show you that what you can stretch your arms out to is really more than what you can see. There's a story I had told here a while back on testimony service, if you ever gang us on Tuesday night testimony, about a man back in the days when they had the bubonic plague, most of us know, killed thousands of people. And they were missionaries going over to Africa. And as they was going over to Africa, they were taking a ferry across to this particular, what you called, I'm going to say a rotten island or a disease-stricken island. And as they was going to the island, one of the guys who actually guided the ferry told the man and woman of God who was a missionary, You must be out your crazy mind going over here. Everything that's coming back from over there is dead. Even as he began to go back and forth, he had bodies laying on the ferry that he was taking back and forth to be buried on the other side of the river, because the land over there was so taunted with that disease. And he spoke the power of God to that very person who drove that ferry. He said, "We're walking as missionaries and we're walking in the power of God." He said, "That stuff, that disease that was on that body," he said, "take that disease on that body, put it on this microchip." And as you put it on his microchip, he had a lab. He said, "Put it under the microscope." The man took the disease that was off the one of the bodies, the sores, and he wiped some of the scuff on that particular glass that you put in the microscope. And he looked under the microscope, and he said that bubonic plague was live and active. It destroyed and attached itself to anything that then had a power that it was standing to get it off. And he began to take, he said, "You take that and look at it." He said, "Now what I want you to do, I want you to take the blood from my hand. Just take a piece of the little blood from my hand. Put my blood on that bubonic plague and put it back under the microscope and tell me what you see." You see, the man of God took it off the man, put it back. Come on. I mean, I know what I'm talking. He put it under the microscope and looked at it. And when he looked at it, what was alive because of his blood touching was dead. When you talk about moving in the power of the blood, and you know that God got a plan for things in your life. The Bible said, when he asked you to come to him, who in heavy laden, you ought to might want to hear what the prophet has to say in the season that he's in. I ain't saying you got to walk around with title and name and position, but the word of God declares it in the book of Amos. The word is not brought into the land. It's revealed through the prophet. God is constantly bringing word into the land for those who are lost. It ain't by coincidence that you're on the line tonight.
Come
you
on.
You don't want to take advantage of it because you don't know the transformation, the change that God can do in your life. That number is easy to push. 929-477-1191. Matter of fact, most of you on the line, all you need to do is raise over if your hand is strong enough to push the number one button. Say, "I need some prayer." There's chaos and destruction going on in my life and around my life. I don't know how I'm going to come out of my finances. The doctor told me this, that, and the other. I don't know how I'm going to make a next paycheck. I don't know how my life's going to be paid off or this, that, my car's behind. If in a repo that, my husband, they're acting like something wrong with him. The kids acting like, you need prayer. Your house is in chaos. It's amazing when you still keep running to the house of God, but you ain't seeing no results. Baby, you need somebody to speak a word on your life and in your life to transform and change whatever you're going through. If you want to stay in the cast, then stay there. It ain't no breathing in there. You can stay in there if you want to. Man of God, I'm going to hand it back over to you because you got a heavy line on here, and not one hand was raising except for that brother that came out of the 225. And it's they all on this line. And nobody's even man, God is back in your hands.
Preacher, what I need somebody to understand is that I got enough sense to know and understand that I can't do this by myself. None of us can. And the Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. That stands to reason that again, we need each other because the strength lies in numbers. The strength, there's power in corporate prayer, power in corporate praise. There's power manifested in corporately speaking and feeding on the word of God. And so, again, the reason why this is so important, none of us has made it. None of us has arrived. We all got that thorn in our side. I got plenty of things that I struggle with, but I got enough sense not only to pray to God first myself, but to seek out and employ other men and women of God to pray with me. That's why we do this. Again, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." He never leaves himself without a witness. And sometimes it might be the very person you least expect that will help pray for you and get that breakthrough. This is why we can't afford to judge one another. We can't afford to judge a person by our cover, by their cover. Because these days, that spirit of divination would have you think that ain't nobody real man, woman, God, unless they tune up and hoop in front of you and you see somebody jumping pews. But that's not the way the word works. And I'm not putting that down. What I'm saying is when you're facing real crises and you're facing real attack in your life, listen, you can't pray. You can't seek God. You can't discern even spiritual death if you don't know what to look for and how to look for it. If you're not willing to jump in and ask for help, and you'd rather suffer and go through alone, then that's your will and that's what you're going to do. But the Bible tells us in all things, with much prayer and supplication, to make our request known to God. You don't have to do anything alone but die physically. That's it. God has provided a network of men and women. And to be honest with you, it doesn't matter what you think or feel about the next person, because that's what God gives us discernment for. That's what God gives us the Holy Spirit for. But as Paul told the disciples, either way, as long as the word of God is being preached and honored, God's will is being done. You got a lot of people out there who is preaching and teaching the word of God, but they're doing it out of corrupt motives. It doesn't matter what their motives are. What matters is that God is being glorified and that somebody is receiving the word. So please understand that this has nothing to do with a person, but it has everything to do with your faith in the one and only God who can raise you and save you, period, point blank. It don't matter what you think of Elder Cary Williams. It don't matter what you think of Apostle Charles Ellis. What matters is what you think and believe concerning God and the word of God. When you begin to search God with your whole heart, God will then meet you at the point of your need. Again, be it according to your faith, that's why it's so important that you invest the time in developing your faith. Our faith is supposed to be renewed from day to day. That's why David can look back over his life and said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous nor forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Because when God is magnified, people are edified. When God is magnified, the body of Christ is edified. The body of Christ is strengthened and encourages. Remember, the scripture said that we are supposed to all come into the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God so that we become fully mature or otherwise perfect, not lacking anything, not being ignorant of the will of God. Now, I can't speak for nobody but Elder Cary Williams, but Elder Cary Williams has been tested and tried enough. Elder Cary Williams has gone through enough hell and adversity to know and understand that he does nothing under his own power. He understands that he's not even in control, but God has all control. God has the final say. So I have no other will but to seek his will, because his will is everything. I can't do nothing but mess up. But in him, my weakness is made perfect. Man's limitation, your limitation, when you can't go no farther, you can't do no more, that's God's opportunity. But until then, he expects you to do what he commands and delegates for you to do. And if it's as simple as asking another man or woman of God to pray with you on something, that's all he requires, but that's what he expects. Amen? So, and besides, if you remember tonight, I didn't ask for feedback. I didn't ask just for prayer requests. I asked for some feedback. You might have a question. You might just want to glorify God. But it's all in order. All you got to do is push the number one. Again, Apostle Charles said, we can't beg you or make you do anything. But if you really, truly believe God, you don't mind letting the world know. The Bible says that we are supposed to make a loud, joyful noise unto the Lord. We're supposed to tell of his goodness. We're supposed to speak the oracles of God. And in order for it to speak, somebody has to hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, you've heard the word of God. You're constantly hearing the word of God. And if you believe in the word of God, you should be speaking the word of God. So that's about, you know, that's about the size of it. But,
okay,
you know,
okay,
in any
event, as we go forth, I want you to really pray a special, I mean, not just a special anointing, but because of the hearer. This young lady texted in, and I mean, I don't want to say her name, and I'm not going to say her name. If she feels she want to do that, then that's going to be her. But I want you to really pray for this young lady because of our heart
okay.
and frail spirit. What we got here? We got 734. Can't give out, you know, other parts of a number because that's private. 734-064. That's about it. 604. You're on the line with Elder Williams.
I'm on the line. I'm calling.
Yes.
I'm calling from Michigan,
yes, you are,
asking for prayer.
Okay. Go ahead.
My daughter is on the road on her way to Atlanta, and I'm asking for traveling grace for her.
All right.
I'm in the hospital battling with cancer in Washington, and I'm just asking you to pray for our family.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Hold on a second. 1 minute. Let her back that back up again. I missed one that part. You were saying something about an illness.
I have a cousin who is battling cancer in Washington. And I just asked you to pray for our family. He's in stage 4 cancer in Washington. And we're just asking for prayer for our family.
Amen. Amen. All right. Listen. You know the word of God and you believe the word that the Bible says that God is a healer, you know. Part of my testimony is God has healed me from cancer. I've been cancer-free for 5 years now. So if God did it for me, he can do it for your cousin. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this young woman of God. Lord, we ask, first of all, that you would cover her daughter with your grace and your mercy as she travels over the highways and the byways, oh God. Go with her, Lord, and bring her to and from the appointed place at the appointed time without her harm or danger, oh God. Continue to cover her, Lord. Honor the petition and request of the woman of God. She's coming before you tonight in love and with reverence in our heart, oh God. God, go into the hospital and be with her cousin. Lord, you know the condition. You have the answer. You have the healing. You said that you are the God that healeth us, Lord. So we believe you tonight for healing us in our infirmities. As a matter of fact, Lord, you said whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So right now, in the mighty master's name of Jesus, we bind the spirit of infirmity. We bind that cancerous attack, Lord. We want, oh God, that you would stop it in this track, so God. God, raise this man, raise this person up, and give them a testimony, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We bind it with everything. Say unto the Lord, rebuke you. We plead the blood of Jesus against you. And we loose healing, God, upon not only this person's body, but upon this person's life, Lord, this person's finances, this person's mindset, Lord, this person's relationship,
Jesus.
Oh God. Cover their family,
Lord. Yes,
anoint
Lord.
Them
yes,
afresh
yes,
and renew
yes.
them and send them
yes.
into your vineyard, oh God, in the name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
In
God, open
Jesus.
The eyes and the hearts of men and women everywhere. God, even there, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You are the only one who can do it. You are the only God. Hallelujah. Your Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Hallelujah.
Your Jehovah Shalom, mm-hmm. our peace. Your Jehovah Tiskanu,
yes,
our healer, God, and we believe
in
you. We
Jesus.
Trust you and revere you.
Yes, yes.
Go
yes,
with this
yes.
young lady, even herself,
right.
Lord, as she
right
goes
now,
forth
God.
In her walk. Lord, reveal yourself to her. Show
yes,
yourself
Lord.
Strong, even
yes.
in the midst of her adversity and her storm,
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Raise her
yes.
up.
Yes.
And lift her to the place of the purpose
yes.
that you have
yes.
for her. These and all the other blessings we thank you for. In Jesus'
yes.
name we pray.
In
Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless
Amen.
You, madam.
Amen. Amen. You know, the good thing about the woman of God to call in, you know, I just want to, you know, say something about her and what she said and not lingering on that. You know, the Word of God talks about in Jeremiah 32:17, and he really speaks in reference to Mark 9:23. If you hear the words of what I'm saying, it'll connect. And when you begin to understand that you are heirs and joint heirs, that you are part
there
of the
is.
Kingdom of God. And when God said you're part of the heir, then what he done on the cross is also be unto you. Now, he told the man of God, declared according to the book of Mark 9:23, when he was in the midst of his son going through the suffering, he had to first admit, man of God, hear me when I, you,
that's
you,
right.
Or you will get this. He had to admit at first that his faith wasn't strong enough to cast the demons out of him, even Jesus' disciples, even as the Pharisees began to conference with them when he was on the Mount Transfiguration. Jesus came
that's
out,
right.
rebuked his Pharisees, and asked the man, what it be with your son? The man of God said, sometime, and notice what he said, if you read the text properly, he said, sometime, he explained what it was doing. He said, sometime, it throws him in the fire. He said, sometimes
right.
it tries to drown him. He said,
yep.
if there be anything, have mercy on us. Jesus required, and the man of God, he said, do you believe? The man said, you need to help my unbelief, that I may believe.
That's right.
He wasn't afraid to admit that he was weak in what he was doing. But even
that's
as
right.
he began to pray, I can hear Jeremiah speaking when this woman of God was talking. When we begin to look at a situation in our life, we look at it from a physical standpoint of view. But God keep trying to tell, that ain't it, that ain't it, that ain't it. If you can just believe in the midst of whatever you seem to seem impossible, that it looked like I can't do, I'll back it up with the word and I declare a decree by the name of Jesus. If you just connect with me, like the woman that God had the issue of blood, and you stop looking at the physical and then believe what the power of God has already done in your life. And when he looked at the man of God, he said, get a son to me. The devil began to try to do what he needed to do to the man of God. But ultimately, God had the victory by the word that he spoke over the child's mouth. He cast the demon out. As he cast the demon out, he revealed power to the man of God who had a discipline of unbelief in his life. The same thing you see with Jeremiah 32:17. He makes a very clear statement in Jeremiah 32:17. He said, with my stretched out arms, I created the heavens and the earth. He tells you,
that's
he's
right.
trying to challenge you. He said, is that anything too hard for me to do? We look at the scripture
come
in
on.
Such a way that we can quote it real good. But see, Jeremiah, in the word of the kingdom, goes right back over to Jeremiah 32:27. He said, well, my stressed out arms, I created what? All flesh. Am I in there with anybody?
That's right.
I'm talking about the one who got the manufacturing ability to give you back whatever it is that you need in your life. When God began
amen.
To touch you, when you begin to look at a thing one way, God said, no, that ain't it, that ain't it. Because when he began to speak to you, according to Isaiah 55, that 8, 9, and 10, he said, look, my thoughts, your thoughts, my ways, your ways. God is trying to get you to see your mind has got to be lined up according to the scripture. The Bible declares,
come on.
What was it, Romans 12? He said,
yeah.
I beseech you therefore, brother, by the God want
to
give me
mercy to God.
That you present yourself as a living, what? Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
God wants you to go all out with him. If he's going to do a work in you, he said, no matter what you see in the physical, it's by what you believe in the spirit. According to the word of, Romans 8:18, he said, I reckon for that suffering that you may be seeing as going through your life is not compared worthy to the grace of God that may be revealed. The blood
what shall
God
be revealed.
You and every disease and sickness in your body. I heard the anointing
right.
in that woman of God's mouth. When she heard, I heard it in her voice. When she said, I meet my cousin who's in a stage 4 cancer, and he's down in Washington. I believe that the word of God came back and that the word came to the centurion soldier. I don't need to be in the presence of the prayer tonight, but according to my
yeah.
faith, and I believe that God will send a word in the midst of the corridors of that hospital. Be able to uplift him in whatever condition he may be in. God has got the power to reverse, transform, and change.
trained and convicted. You got to believe that in your life. That's where we fall short at, because of our belief. We don't believe that God can do a thing that looks tragedy to our eyesight. But God is trying to get you to see, have your faith and know and believe that even with the Shulamite woman, I can deliver whatever it may be according to the belief of the one that believes. You got to have faith in the midst of your storm, knowing that God has got the power and the ability to transform. If I can raise Elijah from the dead, if I can heal a woman with an issue of blood, I can raise Jairus' daughter. I'm trying to get you to see that God is not a respectable God, that whatever you ask him for, God would do that he said he's going to do. According to your faith, you're going to have faith in the midst of your situation. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, there's somebody that's about to encounter a sickness in their body, but it's going to take faith to bring you out. You feel good right now, but God is telling you, if you don't lift up your voice and begin to speak a word of God and what I've commanded over your life, this thing will try to come and try to take you out. There's a doctor that will give you a word, and you're going to receive that word, and you're going to believe it, rather than rebuke it because of the failure of your faith. These things have come to pass to the point that God not to hurt you, but to strengthen your faith. That woman, God said, I want you to send a word to Washington. Not only I want you to send a word to Washington, I want you to put wings on a car of my daughter. I believe when she spoke that the hands of God wrapped that car in the name of Jesus. And I can hear the word come back to her mouth. I'm safe and I'm here. That even the man of God in the name of Jesus that's over there in Washington, we said one thing about his death in the situation, but God is about to prolong that whatever it may be. It may be a stage 4 in the eyesight of them. But God's going to do something in the midst of that situation. And on Tuesday night, if she happened to call back, God's going to give her a testimony about the word that came back from Washington in his condition. God is no respectable person. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. All you got to do is have enough faith that summons the word of God. I mean, you got to call out on your knees. I ain't telling about reading the word of God, sitting down there and just reading your Bible. When you learn to do a shanambandaresodambarokaresa, and you begin to pray like you never, like a wild man, call on God like he got a hearing aid. And you begin to ask God to open up a way for you that in the midst of whatever seems indestructible to the point that you can't kill, God said, I can do it. Do you believe that you can do it? That boy raised up out of this situation from that demonic demon that was, that sin was on him. That's all it was sin. Look, demons, sickness, all that stuff is sin. The man at the pool of Bethesda. When you going to stop complaining and get with God and rise up over above the things that's holding you back and stop complaining about everybody else? Get me healing. Man, the woman, God, you got to get it. You got to get it in the season. It's a time that the faith, the power of God is more present in the earth ever before, more than ever before. But the people are lacking wisdom. The man of God just said it. You keep going for turning tricks. All these enthusiastical words that people tell you to make you feel good, itching your ears, and you get a feeling for just getting there, and then you run back out in the street, and you ain't changed for nothing. Sometimes y'all going in the house of God, and you don't believe the very blessing is right there in your purse. Some of y'all suffer from high blood pressure, thyroid situation, circumstance, but there's a man of God who made it. See, God worked through the doctors. Sometimes your healing is right there in your purse. You're taking a pill every day to prolong your life, but you yet don't believe that God has got a remnant in the earth to keep you alive to do the work that he can do through you. Come on, man of God. I don't want to get the move. We got to get out of here. But I'm telling you, I heard it in the spirit. I heard it in the spirit. She said, I want you to send the word to a stage 4. God said, what is that? If that's what I heard the Holy Spirit say, what is that? Compared to what I've just told you in Jeremiah 2:27. I've created all flesh. Who you going to believe? They reported my report.
Amen.
It's according to what you believe. For who has believed the report? And then it's who has the arms of that report been revealed. How you receive prayer, how you receive the engraftation of the word of God, is all going to determine where you're going. Man and woman, God, I'm telling you, your soul, every soul, I heard the man of victory outreach speak this one day, and it touched my spirit. He said, every soul has got to get in one size hole. Bishop Newgene Reeves spoke something in the conference. He said, whatever you feed the most, that's what's going to grow. Amen. That man, he's trying to feed you. He's trying to feed you, but you pushing the spoon away that's going to probably prolong your life in whatever condition you may be dealing with. You're going to have to believe and declare and decree, despite of all things that you see around you, that look here, man of God, I'm trying not to get down on anybody. The rings ain't going to change you, save you. The conferences ain't going to change you. The robes ain't going to change you. The collars ain't going to change you. You're going to have to get in a personal relationship with Christ and understand that the season of the word is coming to you, it's coming to help you out of the things that's coming at you. The storms are coming. The storms are coming. What kind of defense system you going to have when they come? Come on, Elder.
Amen. Excuse me. The Bible lets us know plainly that not only do we have to make our requests known to God, but we also have to believe enough to the point that we put action with it. And listen, Dr. Albright said something to me a while back that was so profound and so important. And he simply said this. He said, the enemy knows that he has no power over our bodies. He has no power over our flesh. But we don't know it because God created us in the Word, and God gave us these fleshly bodies by His Word. So the Word is what has dominance over our bodies. So if you have enough sense to believe the Word and then speak the Word is what has the promise over your body. Please understand that it's not what you're facing that matters. What matters is where your faith is at. In the Word. Because all of us have to travel again the same road. And we need the testimonies of one another. We need the prayers of one another. We need the faith of one another that's securely placed in God. You know, and sometimes it amazes me to see what God does when we least expect it. But again, God gets done things right here, right now on earth through the hands of men. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be all over. That's why we thank God for grace right now. We thank God for the dispensation of grace because we still have the ability and the opportunity to call on God no matter what the situation is we face. And we would that everyone would come in unity and one accord and pray in this thing right so we can get right. Like those saints used to say, let's get right, church, and let's go home. Because that's literally what time it is. And we just want to encourage you to keep on seeking God, to keep on building and applying your faith. Because believe it or not, the hour is late. We're living in the beginning of sorrows. Now, Jesus said when we see all of these signs, not to be afraid because the end is not yet. But all these things must come to pass.
Amen.
And then when we least expect it, He's going to crack the sky.
Amen. Man of God, you got another prayer request coming in, but it's not by radio. It's your good friend, I think our good high school friend, Marie Atkins. Of course, you know, we lost Brother Atkins here a few months ago, her brother. So she said she's at work. She's listening in. She's joining. Everybody else is listening in, those who want to be accompanied, be a part. Your lines are full, but we want you to know that she wants you to pray for her, that God is going
all
to.
Right.
She's on a new journey, she said, and she believes the blessings of the God that he's manifesting is exciting, and she's right
Amen.
Now, she's enjoying and listening to the service, and we want to pray for her new outlook and journey, whatever that blessing God is doing in her life, so we want to lift her up right now. Amen.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you for your daughter, God. We thank you for new levels in you and new heights. We call out the name of Sister Marie Atkins before you, oh God, because she's rejoicing with you, Lord, in you, oh God. And whatever the journey may be, oh God, we pray that she finds it in your name, in your will, oh God. We believe that you're doing a wonderful, great work in her life, oh God. And we praise you for her faith. We praise you for her determination to see your will done in her life, oh God. continue to bless her, Lord. We continue to lift her up before you. We continue to celebrate you along with her, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Whatever the case may be, Lord, continue to bless her. Continue to equip her and send her on your mission, oh God, not our own, not ours, oh God, not our will, but your will be done, oh God. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis, has also submitted requests for her strength and her faith that she grows strong in the work that she's doing in the ministry, and she's asking for you to pray with her as well. Pastor Patty Ellis,
amen.
You already know what that is.
Yeah, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we submit before you and to you tonight the great woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis, oh God. Her heart is tended towards you, oh God, and her eyes and ears are upon you, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you continue to anoint her, continue to bless her as she goes forth in your vineyard, oh God. She's busy for you, Lord. She's a soldier for you. She's your mouthpiece. She's your anointed oracle, oh God. And we pray right now, oh God, your hedge of protection over her life, as well as your overflow of anointing oil over her ministry. Continue to bless her and continue to use her, Lord. We ask, oh God, that you would continue also to look out even for her husband and her family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, they love you, Lord. They seek to do your will, oh God. We can do nothing more but praise you and bless you, oh God, for the man and the woman of God, Lord. Continue to lift them up. Continue to strengthen them in their resolve to gain a harvest for your kingdom. Lord, these and all of us we thank you for in your Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen. We got close on our time, man of God. Yeah, we getting close on our time, man of God. For those who are actually still in the studio, look, it's not too late. I mean, the last minute can determine whether you're gonna live. Lord, in the name of Jesus, man of God, go ahead and get us lifted up in prayer as we go ahead and exit from the station. We believe that the work of God going, you know, is more than what we can imagine. You know, as you drop off, think what you're dropping off on. You know, think what you're dropping out on.
I know that's real.
You're dropping your life.
Amen.
Pray us out, man of God.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for these hearts that have been in tune tonight to hear your word, oh God. Lord, bless each and every one to receive another measure of faith, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You know the needs, oh God. You know the situations, oh God. You're more than able to overcome, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We're looking to you because you are our only source, oh God. You are our strength. You are our maker and our redeemer, oh God, and we take you not for granted. We praise your name tonight, oh God, for a word from you. Bless each and every one, Lord, as we go our separate destinations to come again at the point of time, God, we honor you. These are blessings. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Amen. God bless you and good night.